Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout and Austin Smith, and we are the hosts of the Pro Football Scouting Show. This show is brought to you by PigskinNut.com. PigskinNut, the football news that you've been missing, where we give you coverage on all 32 NFL teams, every major college football conference, the NFL draft, player profiles and scouting reports, X's and O's teaching you the finite details of the game, and of course, PigskinNut Radio, which this show is a part of. So, today, you know, we're going to talk about Christian Wilkins. The defensive line that Clemson has this year, it's one of the best defensive lines we've seen in college football in quite some time. I think you don't really get to see the full gamut of capabilities that all these guys have because of the way Clemson has been scheming things up. So, you know, we're going to talk about Christian Wilkins. You know, he's a guy that people are talking about as a first round pick. Myself and Austin, we've watched quite a bit of tape on him, and you know, we're going to talk today about really, you know, what's going to be a good fit for him to do at the next level, and do we see him as being a successful player in the NFL? Because ultimately, that's what the draft is about. If you're drafting a guy in the first round, you want a guy that can make a few Pro Bowls typically, or be that caliber of player, because Pro Bowls are sometimes not always, you know, we know who votes on them. But talking about Christian Wilkins, I'll tell you what I see, what I look at Christian Wilkins. I see a pure three technique and a 4-3 defense three technique, because you look at him and his ability to get inside and get the inside shoulder quickly is really impressive for an interior defensive lineman. And I think that's his best trait, is his speed off the ball. I mean, his first step, he's super quick out of his stance. He's got violent hands. He's got a motor. And you know, he's a guy that can get home. I think when you want to look at, you know, what his shortcomings are, is that the arm length is an issue for me, because I go back and I look at a lot of the plays where he's getting blocked, and to me he's just losing that battle a lot of times because of arm length. I think, you know, he can stand to get stronger in terms of, you know, I don't know, I'm not talking about what he benched, but I'm just talking about his actual play strength. I think he's strong, but I think he could have better play strength. And to me, he's a guy that, you know, if he had Geno Atkins' play strength, he might be like another version of that, because he is so quick off the ball. He's incredibly instinctive. Austin, what do you see when you turn on the tape of this defensive tackle from Clemson, Christian Wilkins?
You know, the first thing that always stands out to me is just the constant activity from snap to finish. I mean, this is a guy who is violent. He's active. He does not give his opponents an easy target to get their hands on. And, you know, it's funny because probably as his junior year, when we were thinking he might come out as a junior, I remember thinking to myself, you know, going back and watching the tape and saying, you know, I think this guy's arm length is going to be an issue. I can tell they're certainly not going to be a plus. You know, if they're, you know, right about the average where you're hoping, you know, somewhere in that 33 to 34 inch range, you know, then I think I'd be satisfied. And of course, he did come in just shy of that area. But man, just the motor, the passion for the game, the intensity, you know, the hunger to make a play when it gets near. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But definitely, you know, this is a player that, you know, for 4 years at Clemson, and I mean, there was not a down stretch. This is a guy from the first year he stepped on the field, or the first season when he stepped on the field, all the way to the final game in that national championship. He left his mark on Clemson Tigers football. That, man, this was a guy that came every single day with his lunch pail to the football field, and he was willing to work his butt off to get his team a victory.
Yeah, and he's a completely different type of defensive lineman from the rest of them, from Farrell, from Bryant. Who's the other defensive tackle? Jeez,
Dexter Lawrence. Yeah,
Dexter Lawrence. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is really, we talked about being a one or a zero technique. He's not that guy. But if you simply, you know, just talk about his ability to be a B gap penetrator and get that inside shoulder quickly, he can certainly do that. Are you seeing? I know we talked about the arm length a little bit. But the play strength, you know, how do you, you know, have you seen that be an issue and one of the detractors at the college level, or do you think it's blown out of proportion and it's really, he's losing a lot of these battles just because of arm length?
You know, I think he's got a little bit better play strength up top than he does downstairs. I think his hands are very violent. I think he shows I wouldn't say necessarily the best punch, but I think as far as getting the other guy's hands off of him when they're not truly engaged prior to that offensive lineman getting those hands locked in on him, I think we see a guy that shows very good strength in his hands and in his forearms. The area I think we could probably see it more, and he's got some strength in his lower half, but when we talk about an offensive lineman actually getting their hands on him, you know, you can swat and punch and try and do everything you can, club, to get off of that thing. But one of the more important areas it is to have strength when a guy's got his arms locked in on you is, okay, I need you to be able to push, to get underneath him, to reset and get him off balance, because getting your hands on a defensive lineman doesn't mean anything if you're not on balance. And it's that lower center of gravity, it's that lower body power that really, guess what? Yes, you've got your hands inside on me, but I'm going to continue to drive forward, get into you, and now without you having me locked out, I now have a chance to disengage. I can see it with the playing strength. You're right. He's a penetrator. This is not a stand up at the point of attack and hold my ground type of guy to let those linebackers run.
No, he's not going to be a guy that pushes the pocket. He's going to win on his first step.
That's exactly right. He doesn't need to be lining up much over the nose of anybody. I mean, but I agree. You know, certainly a much better penetrator than he is a at the point of attack power player that holds his ground, or even, like you said, pushes the pocket. But you know, I mean, you know, not everybody's the complete prospect that we're looking at. A guy like maybe Quinnen Williams is, where you look at it and you say, yeah, I'm just not finding a weakness for this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everybody's gonna have their flaws outside of those top few guys. And with Wilkins, the effort and the motor he plays with and the type of person he is, it just makes him that kind of player that you just don't want to bet against. No matter the limitations, you just say, man, though, I just don't see him failing. You know, I won't believe it until I see it. And, you know, he's the kind of prospect a lot of coaches fall in love with just because you see that determination not to fail.
Yeah. And I think absolutely. And I think with him having shorter arms, one of the things that I'd like to see him do is be better with his hands, be able to counter move. I know a lot of that, you know, has to do with his arm length. But I don't feel that he seems to have a very good game plan of getting off blocks. And I'm not just talking about losing it because of that, but, it seems like, you know, and like a lot of guys that rush in the quarterback in this draft every single year have these issues. You know, they have a great first step. But you know, in terms of, you know, how do they disengage? That's to me is an issue for him. And I'm seeing that, a little bit of a lack of counter moves, not to say he doesn't have counter moves, but you know, you compare just not even arm length, but actually just the skill set that Quinn and Williams has, you know, to counter, you know, that's a big reason another reason I'd rank Quinn and Williams ahead of him.
Yeah, you know, and there is a little bit of comparison between him and Quinn and Williams as far as the constant activity I was talking about earlier. You know, the constant, I'm not going to give you a set target. I'm going to constantly be twisting my torso. I'm going to be constantly, you know, using my hands. I see a lot of the same constant activity, but you're right. I mean, there's certainly, you know, some limitation because of the arm length and because of the play strength. Now, one thing I do see from him, obviously we talked about him being a penetrator. Another thing I see that I think teams could use to take advantage of with him, this is a guy that moves really well. I mean, Clemson had their pro day the other day. I'm pretty sure he came in just a hair over a 5 flat for a guy that's 300 pounds at a defensive line position. I mean, hey, that's moving. I think teams
will – He played defensive end. Played defensive end, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think teams are going to look at him and they're going to say, you know what? Let's see if we can involve him more on the twists and the stunts, you know, because here's the thing. Arm length is only imperative when the guy across from you knows that you're his responsibility. But when this guy, when the guy to your right, who's not lined up over your face, you know, when the guy next to that guy is the one that's all of a sudden shooting his hands into you from the side, well, now guess what? Now it comes all, you're kind of at his mercy because he's the one starting the stunt or the twist, getting that initial contact with you and allowing the teammate to come around. And I think that's something because of how violent he plays, how much of a kind of a bull in the china shop he is. I think that's something that he could be very effective at, is being that initial surge in the twist game. I also think because of his ability to move and because of that motor, he could be the guy looping around with, you know, a lot of these twist stunts and things like that. Where, you know, he's actually the one who's, you know, who's hesitating a quick step before he comes around. I think he could be a very, very good player because of the tenacity and the movement skills. I think he could be a very good player in those twists and stunts. You know, and like I said, when it comes to the base packages and when it comes to just being a pass rusher, put this guy in a gap. Let's not put him over somebody. Let's make the offensive
He'll
line.
He'll kill you in the beat. He's kill you in the beat gap.
I agree.
That's
you know,
a sweet spot.
This is a guy that does have the initial quickness. And he, once again, you know, when you talk about not being able to, as an offensive lineman, to get your hands inside of a defensive lineman, then things like motor and tenacity, those things start showing up more. They become that much more valuable when you put a guy in that kind of role. So, you know, the Geno Atkins comparison, I agree a little bit that there are some similarities to Geno Atkins' game. And, you know, the one thing we haven't really touched on that just something I'm absolutely in love with him, and it's something that I've knocked some of the other defensive linemen in this draft for, Rashawn Gary's one that I don't see that hunger when the ball's in the vicinity, even if you've got a guy locked onto you, to do whatever it takes to help the play out. Are you going to, if an offensive lineman's got his hands on you, is there a good chance you're going to finish a play? You're going to make the tackle? Not necessarily. But, man, how hungry are you to just to get low, to crawl on the ground, to reach out and trip up an ankle, to grab a hold of a uniform? You know, where's that hunger to just help the play out? Hey, guys, I'm not going to finish this, but maybe I can help one of you guys finish it. That's something that Wilkins, I think he may be the top of the class. I mean, as far as, you know what, when I sniff that ball, oh, I'm going to, you know, scratch, claw, tooth and nail to try and have any sort of involvement in the play. I absolutely love it. It's something you can tell his teammates just feed off of. We talk about players, you know, inserting energy just by the way they play into a defense. He is at the top of this class when it comes to that kind of impact.
Yeah, and here's what I'd say a perfect fit for him is 4-3 defense. The other defensive tackle is going to be more of a space heater. You need him to shoot the B gap. If you have that kind of scheme fit for him, my value for him is maybe a top 10 or top 12 pick. Now where do you draft him, and are you thinking kind of among the same lines? You know, it really depends on, you know, obviously the scheme fit, which is truth for a lot of players, but kind of where do you rank his value?
You know, I've got him in the low teens, or I beg your pardon, high teens. I think I've got him right now right around 18. And ideas, because that arm length, you know, there's going to be limitations to his game. I'm sure there's going to be spells where he's just not quite getting to the quarterback, you know, because he, you know, maybe he's going up against an offensive guard like a Zach Martin, for instance, that really has solid arm length for an interior player. And it's like, gosh, man, he's just getting his hands on me. I think we'll see some stretches like that with him, but, and that worries me about a top 10 pick. But I tell you this much, there's people out there who give him top 10 value and have him going in their top 10. And I love the team they keep on mentioning. And actually, there's two, kind of. And it starts with the Detroit Lions. Imagine him next to Snacks Harrison. Oh, you know.
Exactly what I just said. Put him next to a big space eater and let him go to work. That would be an incredibly good fit.
Let me tell you, I don't think he's the eighth best player in this draft. I do not. Like I said, I'm probably about 10 picks away from that. But if I were a Detroit Lions fan and we made that pick, would I be in love with it the second we made it? Maybe not so much. Give me a week or so, I think I'd be happy with it. By the time we got to training camp, I'd be so thrilled to see that combination work together. You know, Buffalo's another one. They've got a pair of big, strong DTs there in Star Latulale. And, oh, by the way, Harrison Phillips, who they drafted last year out of Stanford, who's another big, strong interior player, put him in a situation with those two in a rotation, you know, where he's constantly playing with somebody who's a big, strong player that can absorb those double teams. You know, I think that would be a good fit. The team that really, really, though, I've got circled, and I say, man, it's not the position I continue to mock to them, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. I continue to look for an offensive lineman to help bring that Minnesota offensive line together, but my goodness, it would be hard for me to pass on Christian Wilkins if I were the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they've got some Linval Joseph, another former Giant. You know, a bigger, stronger interior nose. Pairing him with Christian Wilkins at 18 in Minnesota, boy, I really could see that fit working out well for a Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, it's funny because after that, I look at some schemes that may not necessarily value his skill set. You know, a lot of teams running 3-4s, a lot of teams that may be already set on the interior of their defense. Philadelphia, you know, some of those teams. And I say to myself, my goodness, what if this player does get past a team that really has a need for a three, and then all of a sudden He may be, because of those shorter arms, he slips into day two. Oh, my goodness. I'd be losing my mind if I were some of those early teams in the second round. Going back to even like Detroit and Buffalo, I'd be losing my mind. At my goodness. You know, if this guy's within range with another pick, you know, that would be outstanding. But you know, I just can't argue with Detroit at eight. If they took him at eight, would it be necessarily my best value pick in the first round? I don't think so. But
it completes a puzzle. It helps complete a puzzle.
Maybe absolutely.
On that defensive line. At least in that interior part of that defensive line.
The fit would be amazing, in my opinion. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, I'll tell you right now, when we get past the combine numbers, the statistics, the traits, when we get to the person, this is going to be a guy that all 32 teams are going to look at and say, wow, that's the kind of player I want on my football team. You know,
yep.
I'm trying to think of the world, infectious intensity and energy level on a defense that just, man, it just makes everybody step up their effort level based on the fact that, my goodness, we're going to be in the film room, you know, here in a few days, and I'm going to be in there sitting next to a guy like that, watching the effort that he's giving, knowing that I'm not matching that effort. And you know, it's that kind of pressure, that kind of accountability that you put on your teammates by playing like that. And, you know, you hear about the type of human being he is. I know there were some struggles for him as a young man growing up, a situation where his grandfather passed in an accident where, you know, with a police raid where a gun, you know, went off, not necessarily intentionally. And he lost his grandfather. And, you know, you talk about the kind of a guy that rebounds from that and just really, you know, becomes the young man that he did. I tell you, 32 teams are going to have this guy on their board just simply because of the person he is. And you know what? That's very rare.
I've watched his background, too. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him big time.
Absolutely. And you watch the way he plays, and you can't bring yourself to want to bet against that guy, you know?
Absolutely not. Well, folks, that wraps up everything we have for today. Today, we talked about Christian Wilkins. On the next episode of the Pro Football Scouting Show, we've been focusing on defensive linemen and edge rushers. We're going to start focusing on some of these wide receivers because there's a bunch of them to evaluate. Some of them that I think are going to be draft steals, and some guys that can potentially make an impact pretty quickly in the league. This is Steve Fishkin, a.k.a. Steve the Scout, with Austin Smith. Our silent producer, fly on the wall, Josh Davis, who I'm mentioning for absolutely no reason. We're signing off. We're leaving the building. Thank you, guys.